It's time for Dodger Baseball.
Welcome to Dodger Stadium.
Dodgers win!
This is the golden age of Dodger baseball.
It's a double for Freddie.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. This is the most anticipated season in Dodgers history.
Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out. What is up, Dodgers Nation? Welcome to the Dodgers Nation post-game show. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Thanks for rocking with us. After the Dodgers get walked off again in the D, they lose to the Detroit Tigers by a final score of 4-3 on the year. They are still in first place. You're still feeling good about where you're at in the division, but 56-41 heading into the break, 6.5 games up of the San Diego Padres, but this was a terrible week to head into the break and a terrible two losses to head into the break. Yesterday, you blow a 5-run lead in the ninth, and then today, you score in the first 3 runs, and then you find a way to keep scoring, and then unfortunately, that was it. You couldn't score after that. It would have been the first time since 2019, since the Get It Out of the Ocean game, where Max Muncy made Madison Bumgarner cry on the field, that the Dodgers were going to win a game where they hadn't scored a run after the first inning. But unfortunately, it was more of the same, an implosion late by this Dodgers bullpen, just running out of arms. This team just hasn't gotten the length since June 1st. They're getting less than 5 innings per start from their starters. It's taxed the bullpen. It's started to rear its ugly head. And this team really enters the break on an extreme low, getting walked off twice by a lowly Detroit Tigers team. And you look at this team as a whole, and we're going to talk about this game and why they lost this game. And I got a lot of thoughts on Dave Roberts and Johan Ramirez, but that's the 10th blown save in the last 26 games for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, you don't really feel it as much because it's not one guy blowing all the saves. It's not Craig Krumbel in situations like that. It's not a Kenley Jansen when he's gone through his rough patches. But since it's a collection of guys that are blowing these saves, it's not as magnified. The Dodgers have a closer issue. The Dodgers have a bullpen issue. The Dodgers have injury issues. This has not felt like the team that was supposed to go 162-0 and 11-0 in the postseason, run away with the World Series title after spending over $1.2 billion this offseason. The injuries have piled up, and the team just hasn't executed. And the first thought today, first thing I want to say is, first of all, subscribe to the channel. If you're new to the show, subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, hit the like button, and comment GOAT Tani down below so you're eligible for an authentic Shohei Ohtani Dodgers gray road jersey once we hit 95K. Doing tons of giveaways before that as well. But first thought in this game is Johan Ramirez had no business being out there after the issues that he had. And you were able to use him there in the eighth inning. He comes out in the eighth inning, and he gives up that single to Green. Then he finds a way to get that 5-4-3 double play, gets Kelly to ground in that 5-4-3 double play, and he strikes out Urshela on 3 pitches. But I think when you see the vision of Alex Vesia, is Alex Vesia now Craig Kimbrel in the 2013 NLDS just waiting in the bullpen to get his opportunity? Yes, you look at the matchups there, maybe, but still, Zach McKinstry, that's a lefty-lefty right there. Zach McKinstry is one of the worst offensive players in baseball when it comes to overall production. Zach McKinstry has not had a lot of success this season. Zach McKinstry, if he was on the Dodgers, you would be talking about him like you talk about guys that are struggling. You would mention him when you mentioned Chris Taylor and Gavin Lux and guys like that, because he has just not had himself a good year. And you have Alex Vesia for the lefty-lefty matchup going up against Zach McKinstry, who this season is hitting 194 with a 61 weighted runs created plus. Instead, you go Johan Ramirez for the third time in consecutive days. And Johan Ramirez, since starting with the Dodgers, only 2 pitchers in Major League Baseball have appeared in more games. Since making his first appearance with the Dodgers, Johan Ramirez has pitched in 25 of the Dodgers' 47 games. Only two pitchers in baseball have made more appearances in that stretch. Johan Ramirez shouldn't have been out there in the ninth inning, and 100% he shouldn't have been out there after he did what he did in the ninth inning. You had Zach McKinstry 0-2 in the count, fouls off a couple pitches, and you leave that sweeper up in the zone. You allow him to get his barrel on it, and he rips it to right for a leadoff triple. When that happened, you know, I know, we all knew the game was tied and it was going to head into extras at the very best at that point. But we also knew that with this depleted bullpen, odds are that Johan Ramirez was going to blow that. Turns out you can mess with the Johan, right? And then what happens? Molloy, 1-1 count, singles to center. That ties it at three. Then Valade. Sacrifice bunt, the way he played that, didn't play it properly. Should have found a way to just settle down, square up, make the best play on it. But he reaches on that error by Ramirez, and that gives the Tigers runners on first and second. And then with Perez, first pitch, another sacrifice, and Ramirez can't make the play. And the game ends, and the Dodgers lose.
Another young bat in the Tigers' order does show bunt. He does lay it down. Ramirez wheels, throws, it gets away! The party is 2 days long!
That does not work. It almost felt like Johan Ramirez was panicking and frustrated and was sulking and pouting and slamming his glove and taking off his hat before he even made that throw, because he knew he wasn't going to make that throw. Because when you panic, you can't make plays and you have to square up. You saw him double clutch the ball there. And once that was the case, going to third, you knew something bad was about to happen, and it did. And the Dodgers lose. And I know you're thinking Daniel Hudson should have been in that game. Daniel Hudson, who last pitch on Friday, only pitched twice on this roadie for the Dodgers. He was someone that you would think, okay, he's rested. He could come out of the bullpen. Unfortunately, he wasn't available. Dave Roberts told reporters after the game that he had been suffering some back stiffness, so he wasn't available. So no Huddy for that one. So they couldn't have gone to him anyway. But still, Alex Vesia should 100% have been in that game. Stephen King, he sucks, and that's why we lost D-Mac from Stephen King. Grayson, a $4.99 super chat. Appreciate it. Yeah, guys, I had a lot to get on my chest at the front of the show, so we'll definitely be sure to get to these comments, get these super chats. Comment of the shows are still rolling. What happens when this team wins the World Series because it fully is healthy when they steamroll through Doc October? Fire Dave Roberts comments in minutes. We will be fine. Little Mitch, a lot of have full there from Grayson. Hey, we all want to see that, okay? We all want to see it. You know what I say? Major League Baseball, 162 games, and you're furious about something. But today, you're furious about a lot of things. Lorenzo Gattis, $99 super chat, $9.99. That's going for the Teoscar Hernandez extension pot. Can someone done add me to the DN Facebook? I can't comment. Zoe Gattis. I'll talk to the admins about that. Lorenzo Gattis. Mark Bray, DFA the Johan. Don't baby him anymore. Jesus Martinez. Vesia was ready. Roberts needs to go. Joshua Luna. Dave won't be fired until Friedman is. Can we stop crying for that to happen after every game? Pika Peep. If this road trip wasn't a clear indicator that Friedman needs to sell at the trade deadline, I honestly don't know what is. Pika Peep. I understand the emotion. I understand the frustration. But to think that a team that had signed Shohei Ohtani is going to be a seller at the deadline, they're not going to be sellers ever at any deadline for the next decade at the very least. This is a team that, yeah, they're going through a rough stretch right now, and a lot of that has to do with the injuries that they've suffered, but to think that this team is going to be sellers is preposterous at best. Okay, so let's calm down just a little bit from that standpoint. Really, what this game should be about is a great story for Brent Honeywell. I mean, He finds out at midnight, Dodgers claim him off waivers. He goes three innings, had two strikeouts, one hit, 36 pitches. And unfortunately, Honeywell, it didn't go well for the Dodgers bullpen at the very end with Johan Ramirez. But he should get a lot of credit for what he's done. But really, I mean, Ricky Venasco, it's kind of his days back to Ricky Venasco is not getting it done yesterday, right? I mean, Ricky Venasco gets that done yesterday with a 5-run lead, and he goes out there. He was optioned. He was out there in the ninth inning, but he wasn't able to get any outs, and that forced you to use Evan Phillips, and that led to a tie game. Most cases, you would see Evan Phillips out there today. You like his chances better, and you like Johan Ramirez in that situation. But really, the big issue with this Dodgers team is the bullpen. I mean, last 15 games, the bullpen has pitched more innings than the starters. I mean, heading into today, they were tied at 61 and two-thirds innings with a 5-plus ERA. That's not going to get it done. So, yeah, we'll talk about the offense, too. You had opportunity there. D-Mac, the weakest link on this team is the manager. I've been saying it since 2015. We got Keith Potter. Maybe Ohtani is cursed. Matt Figueroa, May Roberts. Maybe Roberts needs to give Ramirez more hugs and kisses. It's a comment of the show. Give you that one. Victor Soto. Roberts made two mistakes, taking out Honeywell and leaving in Johan. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it already, but I definitely think that Johan, he gets too emotional. You can't panic in those situations. You need to focus on each and every pitch, execute pitches, and find a way. And I think you kind of went back to the well a little too many times with him. You had him go out there in the eighth inning, and he found a way to get it done. Got the double play, got the strikeout, and you're feeling pretty good about it. But unfortunately, you bring it back there in a one-run game, and he executes the way he did. Had McKinstry down 0-2, gives it the triple. Come on. You can mess with the Johan. Teams know that. Top of the first inning, though, it looked like it was going to be a good day for the Dodgers. Will Smith gets a one-out double to Riot, 2-0 count to Will Smith, and it looked like the Dodgers had the luck. I mean, it looked like it was going to be a fly-out to right field, and the ball, it just finds a way to land, and it wasn't caught. He ends up getting that double there. And then a couple batters later, Teoscar Hernandez on a 2-2 count, sixth pitch of the at-bat. He doubled to left to score Smith to give the Dodgers an early 1-0 lead. And then Andy Páez, some more good two-strike hitting, seventh pitch of the at-bat. He takes a changeup down in the zone. He lifts it to center for a single to plate another run for the Dodgers. LA up 2-0 early. And then some heads-up baseball by the Dodgers. Rojas reaches on a infield single. Páez gets his second. Then Páez was safe at third after a throwing error by Zach McKinstry. And then next batter with Gavin Lux at the plate, you had the double steal, and it was really heads up base running by Andy Páez because you saw Miguel Rojas getting himself into a pickle there, and then Kelly did not look at Páez. Páez takes off. He scores before they're able to get Rojas out in between first and second. The Dodgers are able to add another run there, so you get three runs in the first inning. Like I said at the top of the show, would have been the first time since June of 2019 when Madison Bumgarner needed to put on his snorkeling gear and go get out of the ocean. My favorite thing about that, by the way, is the guy in the kayak grilling in the kayak as you see the ball hitting. Imagine that. Hey, babe, going to the game today. Yep, got some really good seats. Where are your seats at? Oh, I'm in the kayak grilling. I'm not even in the stadium. Okay, have fun. See you later. Dodgers get three runs on four hits and the air. Looks good. After that, though, they'd have a runner in scoring position until the eighth inning. They didn't have a runner in scoring position until the eighth inning for the Dodgers. Not until the eighth were they able to get another scoring possibility going. And it's unfortunate. It really is in this one. You were hoping that you really could get some. Oh, it's actually the ninth inning. And then the ninth inning, too, you had opportunity. A big opportunity there in the ninth inning. Freddie Freeman, he draws a leadoff walk. Teoscar Hernandez strikes out swinging. Freeman steals second. Then a couple batters later, Rojas, he walks. And then you get Gavin Lux. He walks after Rojas stole second. That sets the Dodgers up with bases loaded and Chris Taylor at the plate. He's up in the count 3-0. And then fourth pitch, he takes a really hittable four-seam fastball right out of the plate and takes for a strike. Looked like it was an automatic take there. Then he fouls one off and loads the count. Then on the sixth pitch, he swings and misses at a slider. So not a great at-bat there by Chris Taylor, not taking advantage of being ahead in the count. So the Dodgers, they had a golden opportunity there, a golden opportunity in the ninth inning to add some much-needed insurance runs. So, yes, we can talk about how the bullpen was bad all day, but the Dodgers, just seven hits. Seven hits to the Tigers, nine. Two errors by the Dodgers. Costly, of course, Johan Ramirez on the bunt was killer there. But as a whole, not enough offense today. Not enough opportunity. Just 5 men in scoring position for the Dodgers all day. And they go 2-for-5 with runners in scoring position. Just 5 men left on base. You look at the flip side. The Tigers were 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. When you lose to under 500 teams, you have to do things bad. You have to do things uncharacteristically below your standard. And unfortunately, that was the case. Looking at the box score, Shohei goes 2-for-4, had a couple singles. Will Smith goes 2-for-4, Freddie 0-for-3, Teo 1-for-4, Páez 1-for-4, Rojas 1-for-3, Lux goes 0-for-3 with a walk, CT 0-for-4, Outman 0-for-2, Vargas now over his last 19 going 0-for-1. So, yeah, we can talk about the Dodgers bullpen at the end. And I want to talk about Ryan Yarbrough here, but the offense didn't do enough as well. We got Tim, stop whining about the pitching, the top of the lineup. Yeah, we just talked about that. We got $50. What's that bullcrap? Did anyone think that Taylor would walk or get a hit when the count was 3-0? We talked about that. And yeah, it was unfortunate. He's been better lately, but not good at bat. 0 runs in 8 straight innings for the damn Tigers is unacceptable. That's from BC. Roberts wants Ramirez out there so much to succeed at the expense of winning the game. Roberts won't change and will continue these maddening decisions. Chief, any players picked up at the trade deadline? Let's go down here, guys. Fine. We got a super chat, 199 from Jose Aguilar, who says,
"You win. Perfect."
When is the training staff being held accountable? I think that, like I've said a couple different shows, it's the type of pitchers that are acquired. If you want to say who's accountable, this is all on roster construction. And the Dodgers, they want players that can spin it and that can throw it with a lot of velocity. And when you do that, and you have a lot of guys that do that, you risk injury. But, I mean, look at the guys that are in there right now. It's just unfortunate that Daniel Hudson wasn't available with the back injury. But I'm sure everything will be visited if things don't go well. Bob Nightingale, what up, Bob? Don't worry, Friedman will trade for the ghost of Josh Fields. Okay, that one hurts right there. That one hurts right there. We didn't need that. And I did a whole video on the Yordan Alvarez situation there. And they traded the wrong Alvarez, just to put it that way. But here we got be a superhero. Be a hero. Vanasco and Ramirez, Johan and Nick need to be gone. We need a starter desperately as the bullpen struggles are based on the starter struggles. Biggio needs to be gone too, but the athletic trainer needs to be gone most. Something is wrong if he allows our pitchers to get hurt every single year. This is not a problem that's exclusive to the Dodgers. I will say today, Honeywell was the 31st pitcher the Dodgers have used this season, and that is second most in baseball. The team with more is the Brewers, who are also a team that's having success this season. So that's kind of a loaded topic, but it's really a problem throughout Major League Baseball. And that's why there's a lot of luck involved. You get the starter and reliever that are having their best year and their healthiest year all together, or are you like the Dodgers that are having some issues? Now, Clayton Kershaw pitched well last night for OKC. He's someone that could be back very quickly here, possibly just one more rehab start before Kersh rejoins the team. Positive news for Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who's been playing catch. He's throwing a baseball there. So there are some positive signs with the Diane Schroeder is here. What up, Carnivorous Lunar Activity? Diane Schroeder says DFA the entire bottom of the lineup. Ray Soto says 2023 JD Martinez is 2024 Teo. We need Soto. Keith Potter, the fact Miggy Rowe did that rundown play shows the level of confidence they have in Lux. Just a heads up play there by Rojas. But they needed runs. And yeah, I mean, the way you want to look at it, you can look at it that way. Mitch Gordon, sometimes you have to hit rock bottom to come back to the top. I think they just hit that. Yeah, I mean, not to get all rocky there, right? Yo, Adrian! But, yeah, I mean, for sure. You got swept in Rocky's brotherly love in Philly, and you go 1-for-5 on the week. This is the wake-up call they needed. If they don't go out there and make aggressive trades, ignore Ortega 199. Maybe Andy is turning the Páez on his base running. I like that. It's a fire take, a super chat right there. I'll give you the Dodger dog of the game for that one.
Dodger dog of the game.
State brother Nate Dog. We got to what's it going to take to replace Mark Pryor from NS? I think, to answer your question in short, that if this team implodes after they get a lot of guys back and they're healthy, and let's say they get swept in the NLDS or they lose in the NLDS in dramatic fashion in games that the front office thinks they should have won, and you can pinpoint it to a managerial decision, then possibly you'll see some movement. But right now, this organization is very confident with the people that are in these positions of power, the pitching coach, the hitting coaches, Dave Roberts. Having said that, a lot would change, in my opinion. And I had ESPN's Buster Olney on my show, Dodgers Dugout Live, number one Dodgers show on YouTube, Monday through Friday. You guys can check it out at 12 o'clock. And what he said is that if the Dodgers flame out this season, he does think that Dave Roberts will be on the hot seat. And Buster Olney is as plugged in and as credible of a baseball mind as you can possibly have. So for him to say that, I think that definitely carries a lot of weight. And I think that stakes are high for Dave Roberts. They definitely absolutely are. Tonight, it's tough because he has a depleted bullpen and a depleting starting rotation that's going less than 5 innings per start since June 1st. At some point, that was going to really hurt this team. And it did in the final week. They're going 1-5. And you add the fact that the bottom of the lineup is struggling. You're out Mookie Betts and Max Muncy. It shouldn't come as a huge shock to you guys because you guys are super fans of the team. You know what's going on. And they were due to lose some games, and they need to get healthy. They need to get healthy, and they need to make a couple moves. I think they absolutely need to go out and get a closer 100 million percent. Tanner Scott, you have to be a Dodger. Do not think that, oh, Brusdar and Brazier and Kelly, if they rely on these same internal options to get healthy, it's gonna get bad. It's gonna get ugly, and I don't think it's gonna work. I think they can be really good. I think they can absolutely have the power to win the division by 5-10 games, finish second in the National League, win the NLDS. But we remember, everything that I talk about with this team is not with the expectation of winning the division or even a playoff series or even the pennant. Everything that I put under this team as far as the way I look at it is through the lens of winning a World Series title. And when you have a team that has a bullpen that's 21st in strikeout rate, that doesn't miss a ton of bats, not a lot of dominating high velo guys, that's not going to work against the best teams in baseball. It's not going to work against the Phillies, where you just can't have the ball put in play in certain situations. It's not going to work against a team like the Orioles, the Yankees, or one of the better teams in the American League that have impact bats. You need to go out there and get one more dominant reliever to add to your bullpen. And I think you put Evan Phillips in a more favorable situation to allow him to go out there and have some success. But yeah, this team, their battery is on 1%. You know, when you're on vacation, your battery's on 1%. You have nowhere to charge your phone. You have it on power save mode, but you're still scrolling through Instagram anyway with your brightness all the way up. That's where this team's at. That's where this bullpen's at. That's where this rotation's at. They need to charge it, get it close to 100%. And also bring that external charger with you just in case you lose battery. You need to focus on pitching. So I think this wake-up call came at the perfect time. Honestly, I hate to lose. I hate for the Dodgers to lose because we know that your happiness is vicariously pinned to their success or failure. We got the BL boy, D-Mac. You were the first to say when there's a bunt approach, he will push the wrong one. Not pitching Vesia in the ninth was both BS and fireable. Well, I think it's a little extreme, but I'm curious to see if any media members asked him why they didn't go with Vesia in that situation. Oral Hershiser did point out kind of the way that Alex Vesia was kind of messing with his arm right there, that maybe he wasn't feeling 100% up to it. But Zach McKinstry, a 61 weighted runs created plus hitter hitting less than 200. I mean, Vesia pitched on This week, Vesia is pitched Wednesday. He pitched Thursday, so he pitched two out of the three games in the sweep to the Phillies where they got swept. And then he pitched yesterday. He went an inning and had two strikeouts. So it would have been a back-to-back for Alex Vesia. And Vesia, a 1.59 ERA in 5 2/3 innings in the month of July. I'm pretty confident to say that if Vesia goes in that game, McKinstry's not going to hit a triple. McKinstry is not going to hit a home run. Okay, so I'm pretty confident in saying that with the year that Alex Vesia's had, and it's funny to think of how things have changed, and you guys, so many people yelling, Alex Vesia, DFA, now it's, we needed Vesia, Alex Vesia, don't mess ya with Alex Vesia, give him the opportunity. It's so funny how things change, and you got to give him a lot of credit, but you look at Zach McKinstry this season, heading into today, only 12 at-bats in 9 games against Southpaws, hitting 167. They're platooning him. Alex Vesia is going to go out there and get that out. The Dodgers, at the very least, have one out to start a game that you really needed from a morale standpoint heading into the All-Star break. A nightmare week for the Dodgers heading into the break. Can't hit with runners in scoring position or the bases loaded from Neil Katsumoto, but is Yamamoto throwing the javelin? That's from Ohisili. I'll give you a breath out. Jose, I'm going to say it. This team doesn't play in the postseason. When one player doesn't play, that's on him. If it's two, that's concerning. If it's nearly every single player who doesn't, that's a trend. DFA Roberts, DFA 75% of the roster. Guys, let it out. I'm glad that I can be your therapy session here because this is how it always is. First 10, 20, 30 minutes of the show, we're enraged, we're upset, and then we start to see the bigger picture. But let it all out. Like I said, this is not Dodger State TV. This is not the Sunshine Pumper podcast. This is the Keep It 100 about your favorite team. And sometimes it's not pretty, and this certainly is one of those times. We got the McKinstry somewhere smiling, carnivorous lunar activity. He hit that triple. Give him credit. I mean, bad year offensively for Z-Mac, and he yells to his dugout, let's go! And he was trying to fire them up, and yeah, you can see the fire in the Tigers' eyes that they wanted to. They had the eye of the Tiger in that inning. BL, D-Mac, what up? What up? Fire hitting coach too. Hi, what's up, Craig Osterberg, BC, Kelly Oshiro. Shohei Ohtani made great contact today. I mean, it's Shohei Ohtani, right? It's almost, you know what you're going to get out of him. He has certain stretches where he cools off. I was hoping that he would get one more home run to tie Cody Bellinger for the most Dodgers home runs heading into the All-Star break for Shohei, but I mean, he's hitting 316 with 29 home runs and 69 RBIs in a OPS of 1,036. That's second in Major League Baseball. Shohei Ohtani's been fantastic. He's going to win the MVP as a DH, but unfortunately, Shohei Ohtani needs more help right now offensively, and he needs a pitching staff to really come through in those situations. But yeah, Shohei Ohtani did hit the ball hard. Saw some good contact from him. But what else do you expect? I mean, I do think that for all the talk of Shohei at leadoff, we could see Shohei at leadoff when you have right-handed pitcher and then Mookie at leadoff when you have a left-handed pitcher. But, I mean, having Shohei have some slugging opportunities with men on base, with the bottom of the lineup performing the way they are, is something that could be a little more advantageous for this team. But Shohei in his lineouts in the first inning, that was 111.3 miles per hour off the bat, 950 expected batting average. So, really, Shohei should have been 3-for-4 today. And then the single in the fifth inning was 108.5 off the bat. And the single, I mean, all he does is hit the ball hard, man. Shohei's, even the one single there he had in the eighth, not even at 100 miles per hour, but 97.2. But we also got to talk about Ryan Yarbrough. Ryan Yarbrough has done a lot of really admirable things for this team. But having said that, you're seeing just a little bit of a fall off from Ryan Yarbrough. And Ryan Yarbrough has been pretty invaluable for what this team has done this season. But it's still, I mean, it's been kind of rough for him of late. And we know that he doesn't throw hard. One of the softer throwing pitches in baseball kind of sounds like a pillow hitting something when hit the ball hits the glove. But when he's good, he's effective. And unfortunately, hasn't been that effective of late, but today, Ryan Yarbrough, he goes in there, bottom of the fourth inning. Keith singled to center, Veerling doubled to right. So first two batters reach. Then a couple batters later, he walks Kelly on four pitches. Then Urshela, he hit a sack fly to make it 3-1. The Tigers get their first run of the afternoon. So, yeah, the other argument could be made that Honeywell should have stayed in that game, which why not at this point? Then Yarbrough did a nice job in the fifth inning. He gave up two hits, one to Valade, and he also won to Ibanez, back-to-back singles to start the fifth, but was able to bounce back, and he got a fielder's choice into shortstop. Valade, they got him at second, got the lead runner. Then he got Keith to line to third and Veerling to fly to right, so he gets out of the damage there. Then the bottom of the sixth inning, a leadoff walk to Green on four pitches. I mean, you're just seeing him miss with that sinker badly. And, I mean, arm side, glove side, it's just not looking pretty with the sinker command. And then a single to Kelly. That set him up with runners on first and second. He gets Urshela to fly to right. And then Zach McKinstry grounded to a fielder's choice to second, and they get a run there to make it 3-2. And then Michael Peterson did a nice job coming in. He walked Ibanez on eight pitches, but then he was able to strike out Valade on a 98-mile-per-hour fastball. So, yeah, I mean, Yarbrough wasn't at his best today. I mean, wasn't terrible, wasn't awful, really did a nice job escaping things, but he went 2 2/3, allowed two runs on five hits. And then Anthony Bonda did a nice job. He goes 2/3 of an inning, had a strikeout. And then the loss today goes to Johan Ramirez, 0-for-5 now. And he went one inning, allowed one run on three hits, had the one strikeout. But a couple more takes here, kind of a quick show on Sunday. We do all your takes the rest of the way. We got to Phillips will make more All-Stars as a setup man than a closer from Troy Heyman. Jose Aguirre, Phillies fans feeling our pain this weekend. All good teams are going to have their rough patches. A's 18-3 Phillies. Wow, that's a wild score. A's are up 18-3 on the Phillies. Baseball is going to baseball, right? Casey Mata, I have no faith in the front office. They will find another Lance Lynn to plug a gaping hole. If they do that, it's not going to be a World Series. Hi, D-Mag from a cold, wet Auckland, New Zealand. What's up, Blair? Rocking with us from New Zealand. Hopefully we can get some new pitchers and some new bullpen pieces and a new outfielder to bolster this lineup at the All-Star break. Yeah, definitely smash that like button if you want to see the Dodgers make some impact moves. Ramirez is done because he is Doc Roberts. That's why. Ramirez has done it two times. I love how level-headed you are. That's from Marza DeMonza. Classic Caps, D-Mac, you need to become a pitcher for a team at this point. Your 65 miles per hour will do. Hey, come on now. I used to do like 75 on the gun. Come on now. Let's go. But Dave Crewson, I thought Honeywell pitched, but I got to use the sticky stuff, though. You know what I mean? I'm a sticky stuff merchant. You know, I need that spider tack to be effective. Well, I could do it these days. Four outings in 5 days for Vesia. His arm would have fallen off. That's from 27 Riverdale. I mean, look, that's the practical point right there. There's no doubt about that. Having said that, You're heading to the All-Star break. He's going to get some rest, right? I mean, yes, are you driving the car with the check engine light on a little bit and you're getting close to 100,000 miles and your warranty's expiring? Maybe, but man, this is baseball, man. These guys are professionals. And Alex Vesia, I think you got to trust him in that situation. It really shows a lot of confidence in him, too. But maybe there was some communication with Vesia and the pitching coaches saying that he just didn't feel right and didn't feel 100%. So there's that possibly. I'm curious to see if Dave Roberts said anything about Alex Vesia after the game as to why he wasn't used in that situation, especially with the Zach McKinstry. Yeah, let's see. Alex Vesia just warming up. Let's see. Yeah, no, it doesn't seem. Let's see. Alex Vesia was warm up, but Dave Roberts said he didn't want him pitching four times in 5 days. From Jack Harris of the LA Times, and he tweeted out that Alex Vesia was warming up, but Dave Roberts said he didn't want him pitching four times in 5 days. He was also their only option left for extra innings if he got there. So both those make sense. I mean, look, if you're not going to pitch, you're not going to pitch him. But then why was he warming up, right? I mean, because you think you're going to pitch him in extra innings? Sure. But that would be as high stress of innings anyway. So that's at the end of the day, there's just not a lot of guys out there, and they tried to piece it together. They got close to doing it. They got close to winning a very impressive game, considering the way their roster looked with Honeywell getting the call at 12 o'clock, but still. J-Mog at 22, who do you think will be gone by the trade deadline? Good question, really. I mean, as far as big league talent goes, I don't think Páez is a guy they would trade. I think they like him for the future, especially when you look at the lack of outfielders after this season with Teoscar Hernandez being on a one-year deal. I think Miguel Vargas and James Outman, I don't think those are two untouchable guys. If there's other teams out there that are looking for big league-ready outfielders that have some experience, we got D-Mac dropping more bros than Vargas. Noah Ortega says D-Mac underscore therapy. If that was the case, though, I mean, those are two guys. As far as Gavin Lux, I don't think his trade value is where the team would want it to be to move him, unless it's something mutual between Lux and the organization and an opportunity presenting itself. I think it's more likely that they'd option him to try to get his swing back and his confidence back and possibly his ability to play shortstop back at the minor league level. And then you look at the minor league level, I think that really Dalton Rushing is a guy I know they want to keep. Josue DePaula of their elite prospects is the one guy that I've been hearing that they would be willing to sell high on. So those are kind of the top guys. Outside of that, though, I mean, if depending on how aggressive this team is, I mean, of course, River Ryan is someone we're going to see who I don't want to see traded. Nick Frasso is someone who's coming off a injury, and he has a lot of potential as well. But at some point, you got to trade some guys off this 40-man roster to kind of free up some space and trade some of these prospects that are getting opportunities and that you're going to have to put on that 40-man roster at some point. So, yeah, I would say Josue DePaula of the top guys is the one that I think is most likely to be included in a deal for a Garrett Crochet type of pitcher. But a couple more here, guys. I need whatever Randy's smoking. Yarblows, Kenny Chung. Come on now. We're still the Yarbros here. Yarb's been really bad lately. Dave killed him in that spot. Let's go scroll down here. No closer, lost the last two games. Why a pitch count for Honeywell? They're going to DFA him soon. Neil Casimoto, it's a fire take that without, fire take. That's what I was thinking too. I mean, he was cruising for the start of the game, and you look at Honeywell in his career. I mean, he hasn't really gone deep into games. I mean, the most pitches he's thrown Wednesday, he went 2 1/3 innings and he went 49 pitches. So threw a lot of pitches in that one. Pitched against the Mets this year and he went an inning. So they probably just kind of capped that, but I don't see a reason why you don't go out there for another one for sure. Paul Vaughn, what up, Paul Vaughn? Says, hey, D-Mac, what up, Paul Vaughn? Yarbrough not fooling anyone. I'm beginning to think Roberts is betting against his own team. Come on now. Tariq Skubal now, LOL, seriously though. I would love Tariq. Richard Flores, Dodgers set baseball back at least 100 years on this road trip. I love your dramatic takes, Richard Flores. Never change, my man. I see you working. I see you working, baby, with those fire takes. Robert saving Vesia, like you say, Pepio for game 4 against the D-backs. That's from Neil Casimoto. That's a fire take right there. Couple more here, guys. Lux, Biggio, Altman. Biggio's just going to get DFA'd. D-Mac, thoughts on picking up Dallas Keuchel to help the rotation? He was just DFA'd Robert Fries. It depends on what they're going to do. We saw Keuchel look good against the Dodgers. Against most teams this year, he hasn't had a ton of success where he's been. But it just, I mean, you're getting Kirsch back, right? So you get Kirsch back, you got Stone, you got Knack, Yamamoto. At some point, they moved him to the 60-day IL. You get him back in the middle of August. Just depends on what they're going to do at the deadline. Because Keuchel, I mean, he's 5.4 ERA, expected numbers all close to 5. Would not be the worst option, but that's definitely shopping on the dollar menu right there. That's definitely some dumpster diving situation. I know that a lot of you guys don't want to see that, especially for a team that has Shohei Ohtani in his absolute prime. That doesn't seem like it's the move. But it's an interesting thought, and if it comes down to it for a couple of games, why not? A $5 super chat from Julio. Hey, Doug, do you think there's an organizational weakness in the way this regime drafts and evaluates pitchers? I personally don't. I mean, I think you look at the surplus of pitching that they do have. I mean, River Ryan, I think, is going to wow some guys. Gavin Stone, in his second taste of big league action, has pitched pitched like a top 15 to 20 pitcher. So that shows great development. Bobby Miller last year was a top three rookie pitcher. That shows great development. Walker Buehler, they draft later because he had Tommy John surgery out of Vanderbilt. He turns into one of the best pitchers in baseball. But as far as, Dustin May, injuries, now the esophagus situation, but thank God he's okay. That was a scary situation. And get better soon. I love Dustin May to death. He's a great dude, and I want to see him back on the mound ASAP. But I don't think that. I think that they've drafted well. I think that you look at Dalton Rushing, you look at this team and their picks and who they've developed. I mean, Gavin Lux was one that you would have hoped had panned out a little better. But I think when you look at this team, the truth of the matter is they're built and not bought, because the guys they do buy usually come at a price of guys they did draft and developed and the guys they use in those trades. So I don't think so. I think that when you look at the way this team has built pitching surplus, they've done it better than any team out there, Major League Baseball. So it's just a matter of finding those stars. You win with stars, not number three or four pitchers, right? So you would like to have a little more star potential. But they've done a nice job when you consider that the draft is designed for teams like the Dodgers not to have success. You're picking in the later in the first round. They've kind of been a victim of their own success, but they've made the most of it. But I'll spend a whole episode on that, by the way. Darwin Fuentes, D-Mac, did we make the mistake of not making more trades? No, they're still going to make some trades. They're going to address stuff, I promise you. Ryzen, Indeed, Inc., Carrillo, D-Mac, been a Dodgers fan for 35 years, so here's my take. Dodgers ain't ready and will not make it to the World Series. So that's a hot take. I don't agree with it. I think they will. But I'll give you a fire take anyway. Thanks for the super chat, my guy. And it's baseball. It's a very crapshoot-like sport, so for sure. There's no doubt about it. The infamous Game 4 meme. So, yeah, that's going to do it for this episode of Dodgers Nation Postgame, the Dodgers Nation Postgame Show, guys. Thank you, as always, joining us after a tough week for your boys in blue. Another walk-off loss, but that's going to do it. Thank you for joining us here. The number one Dodgers Postgame Show on YouTube. Comment Ohtani down below so you're eligible for our next big giveaway. I know they lost, but definitely hit that like button if you really want to support the channel. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC underscore LA. Couple walk-off shots right here. How many trades you need? I think we need at the minimum three. Outfielder, bullpen piece, starting pitcher. Thanks, DMAC. Thanks, Robert and Rox. The infamous El Guapo, Kenny Chung, Pibbles, Sonny S, Keith Potter, Robert Chiefy. That's going to do it, guys. See you next time. And remember, nothing brings together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.